this morning and seek the Lord and find His will and do His will at all times. We remind ourselves of what we've seen in the class so far, and that is that Jesus did not speak His own words. He said, "Whatsoever the Father said unto me, that's what I speak." And then the Holy Spirit did not speak of Himself, but what He heard from Jesus, that's what He spoke. So all of these words came from the Father to Jesus to the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit inspired it on the mouths of the apostles, and then it was written down in Scripture according to the will of God. So in John the 12th chapter, verse 48, Jesus' words will judge us on the last day. And if we take Jesus' words and change them into other words, then we'll not understand what will judge us on the last day, and we cannot be prepared. John the 12th chapter, verse 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So there will be a judgment day, and God has given assurance unto all men in that He raised Christ from the dead. So all men know about Jesus' cross. All men know about the resurrection. Whether they believe it or not, almost all men believe that Jesus actually historically died, even the wicked that are trying to destroy faith in our God. So the resurrection of the dead then proves there will be a judgment day. Then the question is, what rules will we be judged by? And Jesus tells us very plainly, "He that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So if we don't follow these words that He has given us, we'll be judged, and we'll not come up on the right side. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, we also read that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. So God does not want His gospel to shine to those that are proud. And those that are wicked and have no intention of following His will, He does not want them to know His will or His word. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 9, are the words that God speaks hard to understand or easy? 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 9. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among those that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the Lord unto our glory." So how can we understand it if it's written in a mystery? "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So how many of these princes knew this word of wisdom that God gives? "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." But He tells us earlier that words that He gives are not hard to understand. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. "God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God." Why? "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So all these things are given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "And no man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows these things." And He knows what they are because He hears them from Jesus, who gets them from God. In verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man, the man that is interested in the world, the things of the world, he does not know and does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So because they cannot understand God's truth, what do? Romans the 10th chapter, verses 1 to 3, here's what they do. Romans 10, verses 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So Paul loves these Israelites. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. So why don't they submit to God's righteousness? Because they're ignorant of it. And because they don't know the righteousness of God, they go about to make up their own. How do they do that? They imagine and they speak from their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So men have created many different theories on how to explain how God brought the scriptures to men. And men are satisfied with theories. And throughout my life, I've heard of many different ones saying, what is your theory of inspiration? Well, why do we need a theory if we have a revelation from God? A theory is a guess. And if God gives us the truth, we don't need a theory. But men say to each other, what's your theory what God says? So God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, even the depths of God. So does he say that he interprets the scriptures by his Spirit or reveals the things of God by his Spirit? In John the 5th chapter, verses 42 and 43, John 5, 42 and 43, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you, talking to the Jews. I am come in my Father's name. And, of course, name here is authority. And you receive me not. So how did Jesus come? Not in his own name, but in the Father's name. And because he comes in the Father's name, they don't receive him. Why? Because God has blinded them. If another should come in his own name, him you will receive. Why? Well, they can understand this other man. They can't understand the words of God. So the pattern was not changed today. Men come with their own authority. Men write their own books. Men give their own explanations, their own interpretation of everything, even the interpretation of how to interpret. So men get their own authority from the world in the form of certificates and university degrees and so on. We're not belittling the education that comes to building material things. We're speaking of the education that tells what God's will is. In Jeremiah the 23rd chapter, verse 16, as we mentioned before, this describes men today very, very well. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Jeremiah 23:16, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. Why? They make you vain. Why? They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So as long as we're not speaking out of the mouth of the Lord, what are we giving? We're speaking a vision of our own or someone else's heart. And of course, that's folly, it's vanity. Then we insist that God reveals his word through his word. Because they cannot understand the word of God, they've been blinded, then what can men do? And, of course, they do the best that they can, and so they give their own interpretation. One of our brethren, who is very famous, wrote this following passage here that I'd like to read to you. And this is page 188, 189 in his book. He tries to tell how God inspired his word. How? One will search in vain throughout the Bible for an explicit, direct statement concerning the details of exactly how God related to the apostles and others in the production of the words they spoke or wrote. So let me read that again. One will search in vain throughout the Bible, can't find it, for an explicit statement concerning the details of how God related to the apostles and others in the production of the words he spoke. Well, what have we just read this morning? We've read some very clear scriptures. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How did they speak? It's not hard to understand if God doesn't blind your eyes. Then he goes on to say, we know that the Spirit spake by men, and that his word was on their tongues. Can that be any clearer than that? But he said you can search for an explicit statement, and you can't find it. What is this? We know that the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of men. Well, what is that? And he lists Acts 1:16. We know that the things spoken were words taught by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13. How can it be more clear of how God gave his word? But no one knows the exact details of how the Spirit guided and superintended the writers produce the end result. Why not? There are hidden details here that we may presume to know. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He speaks it. How can it be any more clear? Guaranteeing that all scripture is inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. But one must be content with these and similar statements. Are you satisfied with those? I think they're very clear. He says, God simply has not seen fit to spell out the intricate details. Now here's his problem. How his Spirit entered into the minds of the writers and how he worked with their hands as they wrote. Well, did you know the Holy Spirit entered into the minds? I don't find that anywhere in the scripture. How did this man know about it? Of course, he's reading other people's work. And then God has simply not seen fit to spell out the intricate details of how the Spirit entered into the minds of the writers and how he worked with their hands as they wrote. And it doesn't tell that. The point is that their work produced was God's word, not man's. As such, it bears his divine stamp. And the same man will go on to say, Paul said, Peter said, and they contradict each other. Then he goes on to say in another book, and quotes a man called Linzo, and he says, he stated unequivocally, inspiration may be defined as the inward work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and minds of chosen men who then wrote the scriptures so that God got written what he wanted. Now let me read that again. He said, inspiration may be defined. Here's a definition. The inward work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and minds of chosen men. Have you ever read that in Scripture? That the Holy Spirit enters the mind and he works with the hearts and minds of men as he enters into them. He says the word is free from error in the original autographs. This man doesn't believe we have the original autographs. It is wholly trustworthy in matters of history and doctrine. However limited may have been their knowledge, and however much they may have erred when they were not writing sacred scripture, the authors of scripture under the guidance of the Holy Spirit were preserved from making factual, historical, scientific, or other errors. How does he know that? Is that in the scripture? Of course, you don't find that in the scripture. Where do we find it? We find his authority, and he, of course, got this from other men. So is he telling us the truth or the imagination of men? He says, the Bible does not purport to be a textbook of history, science, or mathematics. Yet, when the writers of Scripture spoke of matters embraced in these disciples, they did not indict error. They wrote what is true. And again, what's his evidence? He hasn't got any. So God reveals three or four ways in which he inspires his prophets and apostles. And we've seen two of these. That is that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and all scripture is inspired by God. And so then a third one, the world claims that some prophecy of scripture was neither of God nor the prophet, nor was it of an apostle. They believe that it came from men. For example, in Acts 17:28, they believe that some unknown man was the source of the inspired writer. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. So thus they say, Paul remembered what was some unknown prophet said to the Cretans and wrote it down from their own memory. So where does he get this understanding from? So is it the word of God? If Paul used his own mind, then the world also claims, number four, that it's best to teach God's truth in non-scriptural words if it makes it more clear than God's truth does. And I'm remembering a magazine in Atlanta, Georgia, the Fulcrum Forum, that said the Trinity doctrine speaks the truth of God and the Godhead better than the Scriptures do. Anyone that has that kind of faith doesn't have faith in God at all, nor in the Word of God. Number five, the world's definition of a miracle is perverted. And they say the birth of a baby is a miracle, or a successful operation is a miracle, or some event that happens is a miracle. The world does not understand that miracles were what bore testimony to the one who performed the miracle, that God was speaking in him. So Jesus said, my word will never pass away. The world claims that Scripture is not all inspired, but what was inspired contains the essence of all truth. So they just add a few words here and there. So with that kind of mind, what confidence do they have in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? And of course, they have none, so they feel perfectly justified to interpret Scripture. In 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 and 2, 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 and 2, now these be the last words of David, the son of Jesse, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. Now that sounds like it's rather clear. The Spirit of the Lord spoke, how? By me. And he says, his word was in my tongue. So whose word was being spoken in David's tongue? In Matthew 22, he quotes this word. Matthew 22, 43 and 44. Jesus testified that David spoke by the Spirit. And he said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. So the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus testifies that David was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things. In Mark the 12th chapter, verse 36, Mark 12 and verse 36, again Jesus testified the Holy Spirit inspired David to speak these words. For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts the 2nd chapter and verse 25, Acts 2 and verse 25, for David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I should not be moved. Now notice the difference here. In the two we just read, the Holy Spirit spoke it. David spoke by the Spirit. And now it says David speaks concerning him. So was this David's word or the Holy Spirit's word? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So whose word is in all Scripture? In Acts the 2nd chapter and verse 30, Luke testified that David was a prophet. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So David now, according to Luke, is a prophet of God. And what do we read about the prophets of God? They were holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In actually, Hebrews the 3rd chapter, Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 9, the Holy Spirit spoke the words found in Psalms 95. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, and then he goes on down to quote Psalms 95. So God's Holy Spirit spoke these things, and these words were inspired on the lips of these men, and they were written down in the scriptures. So in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 5, Paul was faithful not to speak the words of human wisdom. Now, we need to follow Paul's example in Hebrews 11, 1, follow me as I follow Christ. So we need to follow Paul here. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, 1 Corinthians 2, 1, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He didn't do it. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So it's refreshing to know that we can depend on Scripture being the word of God and not the wisdom of or words of men. In 1 Corinthians 1, 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 1, 19 through 21, notice what God does with man's wisdom. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? How? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So did the world by wisdom know God? And he says they did not. The world by wisdom did not know God. So how are we going to know God? The only way he allows us to know him is through his revelation in his words. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, the New Testament Christians understood that Paul was speaking God's word and not his own. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively works also in you that believe. So these brethren in Thessalonica received the word of God, which they heard of Paul. You did not receive it as the word of man. So did they say, well, Paul said, or Peter said, or Mark said, or Matthew said? No, they're saying God said, because these men were speaking the words of God and not their own words. So God prevents men from knowing him through their own wisdom. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, we have authority. And what does that authority give us authority to do? 1 Peter 4:11. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What happens when we speak the word of God? We glorify Jesus. What happens when we speak the word of men? We glorify men. So we have authority to speak as the oracles of God and glorify God. So where do men get the authority to speak their own words? Well, they don't need the authority. They usurp the authority from God. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the problem with men's theories is that they are not God's thoughts. Isaiah 55, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So what happens when a commentary gets a thought that's not from the Word of God? My thoughts are not your thoughts. How can we know God's thoughts if we have man's thoughts? He says they're not his. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's thoughts are far higher than any man's. And as he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. So if I get a thought that's not the word of God, what is it? It's not God's thought. Then what does God use to convert men and to form men's hearts? Isaiah 55, verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the water to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it, whereunto I sent it. So what is God going to use to do his work here on this earth? Many times we think, well, I can speak it better than God for this man. And like one brother said, the people are not able to understand the word of God, but I can. So I take God's word and I speak it in easier words for them to understand. Well, that's a little bit proud to say I can say it better than God can say it. Who can speak God's thoughts better than God? But they think they can. Isaiah 29, verse 13, God does not accept men's fear of God who are taught by man's precept. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, for their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. So why do they fear God? Because of man's rules, not because of God's word. And he says, they draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. In Proverbs 19, verse 27, he directs us, and of course these are good principles for us to live by. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Don't listen to it. So what about these commentaries and all? What about the words of men? Should we listen to the word of men at any time? We should only listen to the word of God. Is there any need to make up theories when God tells us that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit? In 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice he wants us to be partakers of his divine nature. What is God? God is love. What is God's nature? God is love. So here, God is good. And he says his divine power has given us how much? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Then what about 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what do we need to find? God's words? We need to find God's scriptures. Then 2 Timothy 2:2, God authorizes men to preach his word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So what does God want? He wants faithful men, and he wants them to teach what they have heard and not their own wisdom or their own words. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, Timothy was a faithful preacher. And he came to Corinth, and he says, for this cause have I sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Notice, who shall bring to your remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So men have today, well, different churches need different doctrines. Paul was not inspired to say that. He taught the same everywhere in every church. So when it comes to our salvation today, what do we listen to, the word of God or the word of man? If we listen to the word of man, we will be destroyed. In Acts, the second chapter, verse 38 and 39, Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God on how to be saved. Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, to even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So this is God's word. And Peter was inspired by God, God's Holy Spirit, to say, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if we're going to be saved today, whose words do we listen to? Man's or God's? And then in Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So how are we going to be saved? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Should we make up our own doctrine or should we listen to the word of God? And baptism is an act of God. And he says the same thing in Acts 16, or verse 32, verse 22. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So that's Acts 22, verse 16. So God has made it very clear that when a man is baptized, he's baptized for the remission of sins. And he washes away his sins by obeying the commands of God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we would encourage you to consider the word of God and not the word of man. If God commands us, repent, have that new mind, be baptized for the remission of sins, then we will receive the Holy Spirit. So, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to come now while we stand together and sing.